Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Well, this is the first Sunday of June, and I don't know if it's official or not, but to me, it seems like when June rolls around, when school's getting out, that means it's the kickoff of summer. I mean, how many feel that way? Doesn't it feel like that? Now, when you look at the trees, I was noticing the trees on the way to church this morning, it still looks like spring here. You know, we had snow on the ground 2 weeks ago, so it doesn't really feel like summer, but it's getting there. And I just absolutely love summer. It's a great time. Summer is a time for growth. Your plants grow. Your lawn grows. My lawn is growing like crazy. Your gardens grow. Your flowers grow. And it's a time of growth. However, many times what I have seen for Christians is that summer is not a time for growth. A lot of times when we come to the end of summer, we're feeling kind of frazzled and worn out from all of summer's activities, maybe a little bit spiritually dry. We need to recalibrate, need to reconnect with God. And I don't believe that's what God intends for us. God doesn't want us to run through summer and 3 months from now, we find ourselves, I'm exhausted. I feel so bad. God, I need to connect with you. I believe that God wants the summertime to be a season of growth for us, just as much as it is for nature. And so for the next couple of weeks, I want to talk to you about how to make summer a season of growth, okay? How to make summer a season of growth. We're going to look at several things. If you're taking notes this morning, pull out your bulletins. On the back of the bulletin, we give you some things that we need to do to really make summer a season of growth. And the first thing is to embrace the elements needed for growth. Embrace the elements that are needed to grow. For a plant to grow, it has to be in the right environment. It needs certain components for it to grow. I believe that the same elements that are needed for the plants, for our crops, for our trees and everything to grow, are the same elements that we need to grow spiritually speaking. And many times I have found myself, when these elements come into my life, I cringe at them. I chafe at them. I don't like it when these things happen to me. And the very things that I need for growth in my life are the things that I'm resisting, the things I'm holding at arm's length, the things I don't want anything to do with. And so we need an attitude that embraces the components of growth, the things that you and I need to grow. We're going to look at four elements today that we need to grow, and we need to embrace all four of these if we want to make our summer, or really any season, a season of growth in our lives. Letter A is heat. We need heat. Plants need heat. Heat germinates seeds and causes them to come to life. In addition, plants are able to convert the heat energy from sun into a usable, chemical-free energy that drives the photosynthesis process. As temperature increases, biological activity increases, heat is needed for growth. Now the question is, what is the equivalent of heat when it comes to our spiritual growth? And I believe the Apostle Peter gives us some insight to that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." I believe that trials, problems, difficult times in our life is the spiritual equivalency to heat, the thing that is needed for us to grow. Problems produce heat in our life. How many have experienced that? How many like heat? You like problems. I don't like problems. Problems produce heat. You see, it's in the heat of the problem that the seeds of faith and trust germinate and begin to grow, and we go to a new level in our growth with God. problems drive us to a greater dependency upon Christ. Our problems drive us to a greater dependency on Christ. Here's the thing. Our need for God is always great, no matter the situation in life. That's not in your notes, but you can write it down. Our need for God is always great. It doesn't matter if things are going well or they're not going well. Our need for God is always 100% great. The thing is that many times when things are going well, we don't recognize our need for God. When life is going great, the kids are healthy, they're doing well, finances are healthy, nothing's broken down, life is smooth sailing, we don't really sense that we have this great need for God. But man, you get sick, you get injured, you lose your job, something happens with your kids, they're struggling at school, there's a problem at work. What happens when a problem comes? Oh God, I need you. And problems cause us to recognize our dependency upon God. They cause us many times to press deeper into God's presence than when things are going great. Many times I found in my life, when problems increase, my prayer life increases. Why? Because there's this perceived need. And God wants us to come to this place where we realize we always need Him, and our pursuit of God is the same in the good times as it is in the bad times. God knows, write this down, God knows that growth only comes with pain and struggle. God knows that growth usually only comes with pain and struggle. And if you balk at that, if you think that's not true, just look at biology, just look at nature. The struggle of the baby bird picking its way out of the shell gives it the strength to survive. I've been told that if you open the shell and let the bird out, the bird's not going to survive. The bird needs to go through that struggle to become strong. The pain and struggle of a physical workout causes our muscles to ache, but they grow and become strong. I so wish I could get stronger and bigger muscles and more in shape if I didn't have to work out. Wouldn't that be great if that's how it worked? But I remember that old saying from back in sports, no pain, no gain. Yeah, and that's how life is. If there's no pain, there's no gain. God knows that we generally grow through pain and struggle. Trees that never encounter wind have a weak root system, while those that endure wind develop strong roots. Trees in Wyoming have a really good root system, huh? All through nature and biology, we see that growth comes with pain and struggle. I was talking with Pastor Daniel a couple of weeks ago, and the idea for this series, I was praying, God, what should I do? And he started just talking about how, the elements needed for growth. So some of these elements came from him, and he was saying how nothing grows on a mountaintop. And you think about it. You go to the Tetons. You see these beautiful, majestic mountaintops, but really nothing grows up there except maybe some moss, some fungus. Nothing really grows on a mountaintop. And a lot of times, you and I, we want our life to be this mountaintop Christianity experience. Oh, I'm walking on sunshine. Everything's victory. I'm an overcomer. Everything's great. I've got no problems. Friends, if we live our lives on the mountaintop on an emotional high all the time, we're not going to experience growth because nothing grows on the mountaintop. There's an old hymn we used to sing. He's the lily of the valley. You realize that the lilies grow in the valleys? Flowers grow in the valleys, trees, grass, plants. They grow in the valleys. Very little grows on the mountaintop. And we have to embrace the trials of life when they come if we want to grow. Now, that doesn't mean we create our own trials, okay? But when they come and God allows them to come, we embrace them instead of whining about them, instead of complaining about them, instead of rejecting them, saying, God, why me? Instead, we are going after God. We embrace Him. We have joy in the Lord. And we're saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? How do you want me to grow through this trial today? through this difficulty. That's one of the reasons why fasting and prayer is so important, because this is what fasting does. Fasting causes a struggle and a pain in your flesh. When you deny yourself food, then your flesh doesn't like that, and it begins a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Your flesh begins to die. It becomes weaker in that pain and struggle, and your spirit man gets stronger as you take more time for God and prayer. That's why we did a series at the beginning of the year talking about the importance of fasting and all the different things fasting does, and learning how to fast and the different ways we can fast, because we want to grow as believers. And I encourage you, if you haven't fasted since the beginning of the year, this summer is a great time to fast. Fast lunch, fast a few days a week. Fasting should be, if you remember the beginning of the year, should be a normal part of the Christian life. Fast media, fast television. Fast the things of the flesh that appeal to you to grow during this summer season. Bring that trial through fasting upon yourself so that you can see growth in your life. The Apostle Paul, he recognizes and acknowledges the relationship between growth and between pain, between our trials. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, he says, "We also glory in tribulations." Now, I don't know about you. I usually don't glory. I usually groan. But he says, we glory in tribulations. Why do we glory in the trials and the difficulties in life? Because we know that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God's been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit has been given to us. I want to ask a question to you this morning. How many of you want to live a life free from disappointment? Does that sound good? A life free from disappointment, okay? Look at that verse up there. What leads to no disappointment? Hope. If you want a life free from disappointment, you need to live a life of hope. Now, how is hope developed? Go to the previous verse. If we could look at the previous verse, what is hope developed from? Character. And what is character developed from? Perseverance. Perseverance of what? Our tribulations, our trials. So if you want a life that is not full of disappointment, then we need to embrace the trials and tribulations so it's producing perseverance, the character of Christ, and the hope that God has this and we grow in our walk with God. Greek scholar Kenneth Woost wrote this, "To those servants of God whom he purposes to use in a larger, greater way, many trials are allowed to come. For we must be ground between the millstones of suffering before we can be bread for the multitude." Our theme for this year is seek the King, see the kingdom. We want to see the kingdom of God come to Casper, come to our church, come to our school, come to our workplace, come to our neighborhood. We're saying, God, use me. I want to be used of you. Do you realize for God to use us to be the bread to the multitudes, we need to embrace the trials, being ground in the millstones of life? That is essential. That is key. If we're going to grow personally, but also grow the kingdom of God, we need to embrace trials and allow them to make us more like Christ. So that is the first component, the first element of growth that we need to embrace if we're going to make this summertime a season of growth. What's the next one? Letter B in your notes this morning is water. Water is the next element needed for growth. Plants need water. And the spiritual equivalency of water is the presence of God. We need the presence of God in great measure. And we spend time in the presence of God by praying and by reading the Word. Those are two of the main primary ways. Yes, coming to church is important, but if you're only coming once a week, and that's the only time you spend in the presence of God, you're going to dry up. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. He was saying, you need to come to me for your spiritual food and sustenance every day. We need to be people of his presence. As I was putting this message together, I was kind of feeling, God, this is a little redundant, because last week when we talked about living a memorable life, one of the points we said in living a memorable life is to put the presence of God first. We talked about how the priests were the first ones to walk into the River Jordan. It wasn't the leaders, it wasn't the army, it wasn't the engineers trying to build a dam so the people could cross. No, it was the presence of God. And we talked about how we need the presence of God. On Mother's Day, we talked about blooming in the desert, and we talked about your desire to spend time in the presence of God is key to blooming in the desert. We read Psalm 63:1, O God, you're my God, early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you like water. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And as I was getting ready for this message, I felt like, I was like, God, this is kind of the department of redundancy department. We've mentioned this the past few weeks, and I felt God say this, Craig, you need to say it again, because some of my people still aren't getting it. We need to be people of His presence. We all know, yeah, I need to pray. I need to spend time with Jesus. Yeah, I got that. And a lot of times when you hear a preacher say that, we just kind of check out. We turn them off, wait for them to move on to the next point, because we know we should be doing that. And yet, let me ask you, how have you grown in pursuing the presence of God in the past year, the past 5 years? Are you at a place where you would say your prayer life has more intensity or less intensity? More time with God, less time. Maybe you say, I can't give anymore, but do you feel like you're really growing in prayer, or you've just kind of plateaued and stagnant and say, you know, I'm really not seeing much happen when it comes to my prayer life. I really feel I'm not getting much revelation from the Word of God when I read it. I'm just kind of plateaued in that area. I believe God wants us to pursue His presence, because His presence is like water. It waters our soul. And so we need to do things that will give us a greater amount of spiritual water in our lives, so our souls can be a well-watered garden and we can grow. It seems like summertime is such an easy time for us to stop praying. I see it with students. I remember doing it when I was a student. It's like a time when I've got more time, less homework, no activities going on. And what happens? Since I've got this more freedom and less structure, less routine, you know what tends to happen? My discipline goes out the window. When life is not as structured, then I become less disciplined. And so I'm going to take more time for my friends, or more time to play, more time for this. In students, it's really easy for you to get caught up, and you take less time with God when you have actually more time that you could be spending with Him. So all of those who are students, be careful. Make sure that you are prioritizing time with God. Take at least as much time with Him as you were during the school year. Don't let summer be a time when you scale back on time with Jesus. And parents, adults, the same thing goes for us. You know, it is so easy. The days are getting longer. It's warmer now. We don't have to wear our winter coats and snow boots anymore. So we can go outside and do more things. We can spend time gardening. We can do yard work. We can go fishing. Matter of fact, before I go into the office, before I go to work, I'm going to get up and just go fishing for 45 minutes, and I'll do my prayer time another time. Or I'm going to go get in a round of golf quick when I don't need to take that time for God. I'll get it in later. And we can fill our life with activities, staying up later so that we sleep in later, and our prayer time gets shorter and shorter through the activities of summer. And we're actually spending less time with God because all these other things have crowded His presence out. If we want to grow during the summer season, prioritize the presence of God. Spend time personally in prayer and the Word. And I'll say it again next week if God says they still aren't getting it, okay? prioritize God's presence, to make this summer a season of growth. Letter C, what's the third thing that we need to embrace? It's fertilizer. Fertilizer. Other words for this are dung, refuse, caca, in our modern vernacular, crap. You might say it's this, it's the stuff that people do to us. Okay? It's the stuff that people do to us. So you say, hey, Craig, isn't fertilizer very similar to trials? And they are, but there is a distinct difference because trials can be anything that's difficult. It can be financial, health issues, stress, anxiety about anything, relational issues, issues with guidance. God, what am I going to do? But fertilizer deals with people, specifically with people. And here's the thing. People problems, relational problems, work at us at a whole different level than any other kinds of problems. I believe the reason for that is that it's linked to the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's the second commandment? It's like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So loving God is tied into loving people. And how we love people, how we deal with people, how we respond to people is really tied into loving God. And so when there's people problems, it's working at us in our love for Christ at a deeper level. It's easy to love people who are nice to you. It's a whole other thing to love people who are being jerks. You know, what is our human tendency? Human nature wants an eye for an eye. You did that to me, I'm going to do that to you. Isn't that what human nature does? Human nature wants revenge. Human nature wants to get even. Don't get mad, get even. Human nature wants to return tit for tat. Human nature says, well, you reap what you sow, and I am going to help this person harvest what they have sown to me. They've sown badness. I'm going to help them receive that back abundantly. Here's the thing. God does not want his people, you and I, followers of Jesus Christ, to cause a harvest of pain and wickedness to go back on evildoers. That's not our role. We're not the revengers. We're not the avengers. Okay? That's not our role. Our role is to love. You take a look in Romans chapter 12, verse 17. The Apostle Paul said, repay no one. No one. He doesn't leave anyone out. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. We do not take the law in our own hands. We do not try to accomplish justice. We have a higher standard. God has set up authorities, governing authorities, to deal with that. Later in chapter 13, Paul talks about that in verse 4. Talking about governing authorities, he says, he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. We're not to do the evil. We're not to exact a discipline on people that do bad to us. We let the authorities take care of that. It goes on to say in verse 9, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's that second commandment. Verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. That word put on, it symbolizes putting on an article of clothing. And the idea is that we wear Jesus, we put on Jesus, and we wear Jesus as we walk through life. So when people do things to us, we're not in our own flesh, we're wearing Christ, and we respond to people the way Christ would respond to them. And so many times when people do things to us, they lie about us, they stab us in the back, they betray us, they do something wrong, We want to lash out and get even. And I've seen so many times Christians, even Christians, we live with the spirit of offense, and we walk around with anger towards our community, towards the people we work with, the people that we spend time with, and we lose our effectiveness to minister Christ to them. And here's the thing, it doesn't have to be something big that causes us to step in the doo-doo. It can be the small things. When people do something to you, do you step in it or do you allow it to become fertilizer? This past week, we went to Kansas City to see my wife's family. Her dad has cancer. He's going through treatments. We wanted to spend a few days with him, so we did that. And while we were there, one of my daughters, got really sick, and it looked like it was bronchitis. So we took her to the InstaCare clinic, the immediate clinic, and this nurse practitioner did not prescribe antibiotics. Every time my daughter gets bronchitis, she needs an antibiotic. That's a lot of times what doctors prescribe. And this nurse wouldn't do it. And we says, hey, whenever she gets it, she needs an antibiotic, and this nurse wouldn't do it. And I was a little miffed because this InstaCare clinic was $50 higher than our clinic here in Casper, and they just assigned this general stuff that I knew wasn't going to help. But we got the medicine, and my daughter continues to get worse. And worse, we get back home. She's still not better, so we go to the InstaCare clinic here. They say, yes, you need an antibiotic. And I'm just going, that stupid person back in Kansas City. And then so my daughter goes to get the prescription filled. And when she's there, her debit card doesn't work. Dad, I need you to come pay for this. Well, I'll give him my credit card over the phone. No, we don't do that. So I got to go. I mean, I got to stop what I'm doing. I got to, and this whole time, I was kind of rude to my daughter. I was not very happy. I had no joy. And I realized as I was spending time in the presence of God, letting him water my soul, that Craig, you've stepped in the doo-doo. Craig, you've taken offense because she wouldn't give you antibiotics for bronchitis. And I've been stepping in that and trouncing around in that for days. And it caused a stink. And you see, it can sometimes be something very simple and small that we don't even realize. It's not just the big things in life that can offend us, but it's the small things in life. So when fertilizer comes in, do you step in it or do you say, God, help me to grow in the character. Help me to wear Jesus and to have patience and kindness and love and gentleness. Help me be more like you. Or do we allow it to get under our skin and chafe and just cause us to begin to stink? Fertilizer is a necessary component to growing in the love of God. How you doing today? You're pretty quiet out there. Convicting, isn't it? I know. God's been working on me, saying, Craig, you need to grow in some areas. All right, let's take a look at the last area. By the way, some might say, what if the government official doesn't take care of this? And so I need to avenge myself. No, Psalm 54, verses 4 and 5, but God is my helper. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Friends, you don't need to help yourself and do something wrong and take revenge and try to get even. You let God take care of it. Don't retaliate. I'm not saying be a doormat. I'm saying don't respond with wickedness and sinfulness in your life. Okay? All right, the fourth and final component that we need to embrace if we're going to grow is we need to have good soil, and that means we have a teachable heart. We need to have a teachable heart. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And he says this sower, this farmer, he's out planting seed. Instead of having planters like we had, they would just take they had a bag of seed. They would scoop their hand and they would just scatter it all over the place. And wherever it fell, that's where it fell. And Jesus describes four different types of soil. And later on, he says basically these four different types of soil are four different heart conditions, four different types of heart attitudes that you and I can have when it comes to growing in God's Word, growing in the grace of God. And as he breaks those down, the first type of soil is a hard heart, a heart that is totally unreceptive to what God says to them. A person who maybe they hear something on the radio, that's a bunch of baloney. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, Craig, you're full of it. You've stepped in the cock on, I don't believe a thing you're saying. And the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to you about something in your life, but you're resisting. You have a hard, resistant heart. It's the seed comes and it's immediately taken away because there's hardness. It can't find any room. There's no openness and receptivity to it. A second type of soil is what was called rocky soil. And Jesus said that this soil is when persecution arises for the sake of God's word, or tribulation. So you go through a difficult time, or people fertilize you, you have heat or fertilizer, and when something happens, there is this hardness in your heart from that. And when you go through that time of heat or fertilization, you just rile up and you stop being receptive to the Spirit of God and what God's trying to say to you. You maybe blame God. You blame others. You get angry. You get frustrated. And you don't let God's Spirit move in your life. That's the second type of soil. A third type of soil, Jesus talked about someone whose heart is full of weeds and thorns, and he likened that to the cares of the world. Getting caught up in everything that's going on and it crowds out your thinking about God. Or maybe you're so anxious and fearful that you're not experiencing the presence of God. Jesus says it's also a desire for riches, for wealth, and you're just looking at how can I get more, acquire more. Or he talks about the desires of the world, the pleasures of the world. All of these different things can choke out growing in our relationship with God. And so Jesus says that is something to be aware of in your heart condition. And then he says there's a fourth type of soil, and this is the good soil, the teachable soil, that when the word falls on it, it's open, it's receptive, it says, yes, God, I receive that, and I take it in, and I want it to grow to its potential. And it's interesting because even here, it says that some soil produces a 30% harvest, some a 60, and some 100%. So there's different levels of openness and receptivity you and I can have in our lives. And so the question is, when these situations, when life happens to us, what are we like? What is our heart like? Is it open and receptive in every single area of our life, saying, God, you can have it. You have your way. You're in charge. Do what you want to do. I'm going to follow you. Help me be like you. Show me what you want me to learn in this. In Psalm 86, verse 11, it says, teach me your way, O Lord. Teachable spirit, teachable heart. I will walk in your truth. There's many times I don't feel like walking in truth. It's a decision of your will that you do it whether you feel like it or not. I will walk in your truth. I will do the right thing whether I feel like it or not. Unite my heart to fear your name. Every area of my heart, God. Finances, health, heat and trials, fertilizer, whatever it is, busyness, riches, immorality, the pleasures of the world. God, unite every area of my heart to fear your name. This morning, as we look at this summer season, the season for us to grow, the great thing is that each of you today choose what kind of soil you're going to be. not just for the next 3 months, but really for the rest of your life. But we have to keep choosing that soil every day, because I can have a good soil today, but on Wednesday when I don't get the antibiotics, I step in the doo-doo and it stinks because I'm not responding the way God wants me to. I need to choose these elements every moment of my life. Living in a relationship with the Holy Spirit where He's guiding me and saying, hey, look out for that. Don't step in that. Hey, let my presence shade you in the time of this trial. Let me walk with you through this and carry you through this so you're not afraid. If people are persecuting you, lying about you, I'm with you. I'm your defender. I'm your helper. Don't worry about it. We've got this. And today, it is your choice. What are you choosing today? Choosing revenge, bitterness, grumpiness, choosing immorality, choosing wealth and riches, choosing busyness over the presence of God. What's God been speaking to you about this morning about growing in your relationship with Him?
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.